Hi, it's 5 o'clock. You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM, streaming on the web at www.cfrc.ca. We are broadcasting live from the basement of Carruthers Hall in Kingston, and you are listening to Radio 613.
It was a very happy time. It was the lights in the of the candles in every home. If you come into a small little town, a shtetl, like we came from, and you're coming in from up a hill, and you're going down the city, you see Hanukkah, the houses look like they're celebrating, a celebration of lights. You see in every window, in every house, the candle lit. And there's also, of course, something that we were indoctrinated when we were young in school, that Hanukkah is not a holiday for heroes worshiping the Maccabees. It's the miracle of the oil, the holiday of the light, not the holiday of the strength. And we knew better. We worshiped the holiday because young people admired that. At sometimes in our lives, we could show our strength too. At that time, it wasn't a Israel, it wasn't an army. We were considered people, a coward people, frightening people, hiding from pogroms. All of a sudden, we saw that in our history, we had a hero, Judah Maccabee and the five brothers, and the father, Mattathias, who was a priest, and he went out fighting. We felt proud about it.
The celebration of Hanukkah as a holiday in the old country was, first of all, a celebration of expression of their own feelings to them. The Nes Hanukkah was something that they wished that it would occur in their own clean state. They knew that they were oppressed by the Tsarist government. They knew that they were all in trouble. They never knew whenever the next pogrom will start up. But this was the hope that someday they will be relieved or released through God himself, and they will have their own Hanukkah holiday like the ancient Israelites at their ancient Hanukkah celebration when they redeemed the temple. Every one of us hoped and prayed that someday the Messiah, Moshiach, the Messiah will come, the Messiah will arrive, and he will redeem the entire Jewish people, not only from Russia, but wherever they were oppressed. And that was the Hanukkah spirit that was instilled in every one of us.
Happy Hanukkah! Welcome back to Radio 613 here on CFRC. You know, today I was singing my favorite childhood Hanukkah song to myself, and it goes, you know, I know you all want to hear it, so I'm going to share it a little bit with you. It goes a little bit like this. Oh, I'm getting a little nervous here. On the first day of Hanukkah, my true love gave to me a marmot in the backyard. Then it continues. On the second day of Hanukkah, my true love gave to me two skiers skiing and a marmot in the backyard. And it continues. Really? On the third day of Hanukkah, my true love gave to me three dreidels spinning, two skiers skiing, and a marmot in the backyard. So, you know, when I was when I was growing up, still growing up, when I was a kid, my grandparents had a house, a country house in the Laurentians, and it was a pretty big house, and lots of my dad's family and my nuclear family, we used to hang out there in the winter and go downhill skiing and cross-country skiing. And in the winter time, you know, we'd get so taken by the Christmas spirit. And yeah. So, you know, we just couldn't help ourselves to make our own little piece of Christmas in our Jewish household. So anyway, I'm kind of joking around. Today on the show,
we're going to talk about why favorite Hanukkah song is a Christmas themed song on the show. Why is that?
Well,
maybe we can answer that question. Maybe not.
Maybe we could try. I don't know how totally serious I was to begin with. It's my favorite song, but I was thinking about it on my way. Actually, on my way to the station, a funny thing happened. I was singing one of my other favorite Hanukkah songs, which we'll play for you later on in the show, Ma'utzur. Singing to myself, walking down the street, as I often do. And I passed an older gentleman on the street because, you know, it's snowy. He was taking his time. I was in a rush. But then I came to a red light, and so I stopped. And I had been kind of singing to myself, and he caught back up with me. There was a guy standing behind me, so I stopped singing, as I often do when I'm on the street singing and people arrive. I stopped singing anyway. So the light changed, and I crossed the street. I kept walking. Behind me, that he had started whistling Christmas songs. And I just thought, oh my gosh, you know, like I felt, I don't, I'm not saying that this is what was going through his head, but I sort of felt like, you know, he was so offended at the sound of the Christmas song ruining the Hanukkah song ruining the, like, you know, the Christmas world that we all live in right now, that he, like, you know, he fought back with this Christmas song. But, you know, I'm just kind of joking. I don't really think that's what he was thinking, but it sort of felt that way a little bit. And I chuckled, as I just did. Anyway, so we've started off the way the rest of the show is going to continue, which is a little bit of a reaction against the madness of Christmas and consumption. And, you know, we're just going to explode a little bit with some ranting and some, you know, and we'll share with you, of course, some of the stuff around Hanukkah, which is tonight is the second night of Hanukkah. So, So yeah.
And normally I think we try on this show to not have our show be just a response to something, but there's a reason, I think, why tonight's the spirit of the show can be a response to the spirit of Christmas that surrounds us and sort of dominates a bit of the atmosphere these days in this part of the world. And I think, you know, Hanukkah, it's a nice holiday and we appreciate it. And there's a lot of important themes that I think we'll talk about. But it's as far as the attention that it gets compared to other Jewish holidays that have potentially more, at least, religious significance.
Yeah.
You know, Hanukkah is given, or at least the recognition that it gets in the Christian, although now people would say secular, but really Christian world, gets a lot more recognition. But, you know, why is that? And I was thinking today how the sort of how, although it's not as important a holiday, we can actually learn a lot from it. And the irony of this fact that it gets so much attention. And that irony comes a bit from the Hanukkah story, which I'll go into a little bit now.
Great.
Try my best, at least, to tell the history of Hanukkah. It kind of goes back about 200 years BCE, and the Jews at the time were living in an area called Judea, or land of Israel, and centered the temple in Jerusalem. And the rule at the time was sort of a Greek-Syrian rule, but there was a change of rulers eventually. King Antiochus took the throne and started to impose really harsh measures on Jews, massacres, practicing religion outlawed, and that sort of thing. This was sort of the climate at the time, but another element of it is that Greek culture, Hellenistic culture, sort of the dominant hegemonic culture, and started to sort of threaten Jewish culture and identity and religion in ways other than just physical annihilation, you know, talking about kind of a cultural genocide that we've talked about in other contexts on this show. And there was actually involved, part of this involved an internal struggle amongst some Jews who embraced a lot of the Hellenic traditions and sort of rejected Jewish life in some ways, or were much more willing to submit to the rule of the governing body, I guess you could say. And then there were other Jews who were seriously concerned about this and acted against this. So, and in fact, this sort of, but there was this internal struggle, but it was also, as always, you know, when there's this internal struggle affected by outside, by the colonial sort of structure. And in fact, the high priest, the high Jewish priest, was deposed, and a more Hellenistically inclined high priest was imposed as the Jewish high priest. However, this sort of sparked a revolt amongst Jews, led by a Jewish priest, Mattathias, as well as his five sons, including the very famous, I guess, Judah, and they were known as the Maccabees, so that was the name of their clan, I guess. So by 165 BCE, there was a Jewish revolt against the sort of monarchy, the Antiochus's monarchy, and it was, you know, relatively successful, you know, uprising. However, in the process, the temple was destroyed by the Greeks, you know, this very important place for Jews. When the Jews came back to the temple after it was destroyed, the menorah, the sort of candelabrum that would be ritually lit every, not sure,
week.
Every week. I don't really know the time, but it would be... I think every day would be lit every day.
Okay, every day.
Every day. So, and there was, it looked like there'd be no oil to light it even once. But in fact, the tiny bit of oil lasted for 8 days, as the story goes. So, and this is the miracle of Hanukkah, that despite this destruction, there could be this kind of symbolic renewal that could potentially then lead to a sort of spiritual renewal, etc. So this is sort of the connection of the revolt, but also this miracle that that we see. So how's that for the story?
Yeah, that was good. And I think that we heard in that clip at the beginning of the show. Remind me where that clip was from?
It's from an album by a very famous group, the Klezmer Conservatory Band, and the album Oy Hanukkah.
Hanukkah.
And the track was called The Struggle for Freedom.
So in that clip, the first woman who was talking about how Hanukkah is, celebrates, it's both a festival of light, and she was saying, oh, well, you know, we know that really Hanukkah is about the sort of young, what would we call them? Well, the Maccabees who rose up to protect culture and Jewish social life against the dominant non-Jewish force. But one thing that I always have liked about Hanukkah is that it is a festival of lights, and like it's something that is, you know, festivals of lights exist in so many religions. Something that Hanukkah actually does have in common with Christmas, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas is also a festival of lights. I think that Diwali is a festival of lights.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not 100% sure about that, and I know that there are others. So, it's in this part of the world when it's very dark, in the winter. Recently, have we passed the darkest night of the year yet?
It must be.
Yeah, something. We're around the time of the darkest day of the year, the solstice, I think it's called. And so, you know, it's nice to, I don't light olive oil, but light candles and mm-hmm. have that sort of light in the darkness in the evening.
For sure.
So, whatever.
And, you know, it is a really nice thing to do and to you know, gather each night and light a candle to and that's, I forgot to sort of mention, that's what's done in recognition of this, the temple,
right.
is to light a Chanukiah, 8 candles for the 8 days that...
That the oil burned miraculously.
I was reading today that another potential interpretation of the 8 days is that because of the actions of the revolt, there was no time to celebrate the festival of Sukkot, which is spoken about on the show, which is 8 days.
Right.
So it was after things sort of settled down after the successful revolt, they could sort of have a second celebration of the 8 days of Sukkot, which is a sort of a holiday that we're sort of commanded to observe. Unlike Hanukkah, by the way, which
right.
is, and interestingly, although Hanukkah is a festival that is, again, we talk about it as a fighting against this assimilation, the sort of celebration of a victory and sort of winning back a temple was actually a very Greek thing to do. And unlike other Jewish, Hanukkah is not commanded, it's not found in the Torah, you know. So it's actually it's important to also remember that, you know, it's, I don't think you can ever avoid that kind of syncretism. Too much, too academic.
Syncretism? I don't even know what that means.
Ronald Wright, Stolen Continents. I don't know. Anyway, is there a better word? You know, okay.
Irony?
Well, yeah. But that's what we're... So this is the context of Hanukkah, just sort of going back to that irony of,
yeah.
you know, it's not this sort of exceptionally religiously important holiday, but because it falls within... Christmas within, and it's almost, I feel like, the sort of dominant Christian culture sort of tokenizes it mm-hmm. as a look at, you know, especially now with the language of multiculturalism, you know, we are celebrating all holidays. You've got Hanukkah, we've got Christmas.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone's, you know, equal. That this is, and so, and, you know, it's a sort of strange time of year, and it's also not so simple.
Yeah, I mean, I always feel funny when, like, non-Jewish friends will, the only time they'll ever say anything to me about any Jewish holiday in the whole year will be to say Happy Hanukkah, and I'll, you know, usually I'll shrug. Oh, thanks. You know, like, oh yeah, I kind of forgot. You know, it's like not that super important at all, you know, whereas on Yom Kippur, if they were to say, have an easy fast, you know, that would be like a lot more meaningful or, you know, and I'm not saying this to chastise my non-Jewish friends for not knowing more about my religious practice, not at all, just to sort of point out the irony that Avi is speaking of, that in the non-Jewish world, Hanukkah takes on a like much larger importance because of its correlation with Christmas, basically. So, so it's kind of funny. And, you know, I think that that sort of song that I sang, that I shared with you at the beginning, kind of points to that, I guess, in my own family. And I was talking with somebody earlier this week who is a non-Jewish woman who was saying that, you know, she has a Jewish friend. I think this was the story. I'm not remembering it really clearly, but... she has a non-Jewish friend who struggles a lot with her kids. She has a Jewish friend, I apologize, who struggles a lot with her kids around this time because they feel bad, they're missing out on Christmas, and she doesn't want to have Christmas in their home because they're Jewish. And so it's kind of like a difficulty there. And I mean, I don't know, I'd have to ask my parents if they ever experienced that with me or my siblings, but I don't really remember having that sort of... desire when I was a child to celebrate Christmas. I guess like I just somehow was content with not having Christmas. I think I was talking about this earlier with Avi, and he asked me, well, why didn't you want Christmas? And I think that I was maybe brought up with a little bit of contempt for Christmas from a young age. So
healthy contempt.
A little bit of healthy contempt, right? I don't know that I got the best of, you know, no school and like vacation. You know, those mm-hmm. things are wicked.
I guess for me, you know, in some ways I can relate. I think I was fortunate to have a lot of positive Jewish observance, and throughout the year, you know, I looked forward to Pesach. You know, forget about countdown to Christmas. I had, you know, Pesach to look forward to, and Hanukkah, and you know, this sort of thing. You know, I can definitely relate to, or I at least can speak to my own experience of it not really being easy, though. You know, especially in the schools. I went to a public school, and I remember, you know, I was made to sing Silent Night. I sang Silent Night, I'm pretty sure, if not mouth the words, you know, like, I don't know how, can't remember exactly how much I, you know, fought back, but that was a standard thing. I don't know if that's still done, but there was no real questions asked. It was definitely the time of year where the sort of kind of subtle or not so subtle anti-Semitism that kids are socialized with would come out, because they're, you know, questions about Jesus and do you believe in Jesus or why did the Jews kill Jesus? Like, I would get that question a lot, actually, and have to kind of engage with it at like age 7, you know. I remember my mom would come in. She would come in for all three, my brother and sister. She would come in and, you know, just to sort of fight back a little bit, but in a positive, I guess you could say, way. She would present the Hanukkah story to all the kids in the class. She would maybe bring in some latkes, some dreidels, gelt, and it always went down really well. But with all three of us, I think, at least with my brother and I, my older brother, perhaps my sister too, there would be at least one instance where the teacher after would say, oh, that was such a nice presentation, thank you so much. So I just have a question. When do you, or how do you celebrate Christmas? you know, and this is the teacher, not even the kids, you know. So this is, it's definitely, you know, I can, it's a really, can be a really oppressive climate this time of year for non-Christians. And we're not just talking about Jews, of course. And the sort of other sort of, it's kind of like a subtle assimilation in some ways, in not always, but comparing to the sort of context of the story of Hanukkah. But this subtle assimilation is also really important to, I mean, for me at least, to resist, but also to speak about and make sure that people are aware of it too, and that this sort of secularization, quote unquote, of Christmas does not mean that it's more or less
Jewish. Is that what you're going to say?
No, that Christmas is not still Christian.
Right.
So,
yeah, Christmas is still a Christian holiday. I agree.
Yeah. Should we play music now?
Let's play some music, yeah.
What should we play?
We've got some good choices here. What are you leaning towards?
Let's lean towards some loud Hanukkah music.
Okay, here's some loud Hanukkah music.
We'll be right back. dreams, all of which are American 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 dreams.
And Canadian dreams too. They are. That was Rage Against the Machine, Know Your Enemy, here on Radio 613, broadcasting on CFRC 101.9 FM, 90.9 on cable, and online at cfrc.ca. And we now have a Facebook group.
Yes. Good job, Avi, on the Facebook group.
Thanks. So if you're part of Facebook, look up Radio 613. But if you're not part of Facebook, you can still get to the website. I'm just trying to figure out how. But we have a link on the CFRC website, so you can get links to old shows.
That's amazing. I don't even know how to do that.
Well, I will teach you.
Well, that's good. So I mean, I guess I know. I've heard the old shows, so I don't totally need to listen to them on air. But
we also have links to some of the people we've interviewed and that sort of thing. So
okay, yeah, interesting. Wow, who knew Avi was a computer whiz? Anyway, our conversation earlier, before that, with great Rage Against the Machine track, we were talking a little bit about how, you know, what this time of year when the Christian holiday of Christmas is so dominant all over the place. I mean, like, this is not just something that affects people who don't celebrate Christmas, like Jews. But, you know, I have a lot of friends who grew up in Christian households or, you know, Christian secular households who have always celebrated Christmas and who are totally frustrated by so much of the sort of dominant cultural expression of Christmas. So I don't really know why I'm saying that. Just to share that I think it's a time of year where a lot of the sort of most negative aspects of the culture of this part of the world come out. I mean, like, consumerist culture in particular, mm-hmm. Is just so super dominant at this time of the year. And so it's, you know, I think a lot of, what I'm saying is that a lot of people have a reaction against it. And I think that, you know, for me growing up, that was always a big part of my reaction against this time of year, combined with, you know, I guess a certain feeling of exclusion. And I think that even though, as we've been saying, Hanukkah is really not a very important holiday, it's a time, it's an opportunity, it's part of an opportunity to react against, you know, to kind of say, oh, this is not what I am, you know. And with the sort of mad consumption of Christmas, it's kind of a nice time to be able to say, like, this is really not what I do, this is not what I'm part of.
And again, we can draw from the Hanukkah story itself. This is what I find really kind of interesting.
Right.
Too.
Yeah, for sure. But it's also a time, like, when, you know, lots of Jews do celebrate Christmas, and so the sort of tension of assimilation of assimilation in its many meanings is a pretty present at this time of year. And I just want to kind of preview some sort of more serious conversations on related topics that we'll be having in the new year with Cynthia Levine Raske, who is a professor here at Queen's. And we'll be talking with her about some of the research and writing and thinking she's done around Jews in North America achieving or not achieving whiteness, and what that means and how it happens, and what the dynamics of that are. So that should be really interesting, more serious and meaningful than maybe this show is. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just wanted to preview. So do look out for that in the new year.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Back to the ranting. I just thought of another
excellent
another rant, and I actually want to preface the rant with one, you know, that we also talked earlier today about how we understand and sort of express some sympathy with religious Christians who are also frustrated with the materialism of Christmas and who especially people who are maybe reflective of the fact that the religious element can also be very oppressive towards non-Christians, but at the same time want to practice away from the constant sales and buying and this sort of thing. So I think it's important to take note of that. But something I was thinking recently is how frustrating it is that even that materialism of Christmas has been imposed on Hanukkah. And this is another kind of weird, anti-Semitic kind of thing that I think I remember experiencing as a kid was, what are you complaining about? You have 8 days of presents.
Oh, yeah.
8 days of Christmas, practically. Like, what? Please turn down your radio for the next 5 seconds. What the fuck is that? Okay, you can turn them up now. Like, it's that we had to deal with the fact that Christmas is this extraordinarily materialist, like, pressure on buying things, et cetera, et cetera. And that's somehow been put onto Hanukkah. And I'm not saying that there aren't Jews who engage in or that I haven't engaged in with my own family, et cetera, and that I don't appreciate some lovely gifts that I get this time of year, like slippers. But, you know, the fact that it's almost, there's an impression that is very clearly expressed that Hanukkah is even more, you know, or like, look, and I think it has to do in some ways with people's sort of anti-Semitic notions of connecting Jews and money, that, you know, of course you would want to do this, except more.
Right. Yeah.
Just another rant.
A thought. Yeah. Well, we seem to be, for a few seconds, lost for words, so maybe we're going to break this up a little again.
Yeah, we have some more music. Because despite the ranting, it's a joyous time of year. And this is a song. It's by Dado and the Ladino Voice. Dado is a group who I met up with and saw at this year's Ashkenaz Festival, although their music is explicitly not Ashkenaz. It's the singer Dado sings primarily in Ladino, which is sort of a pre-Inquisition language spoken by Jews, which is a mix of sort of Hebrew and Spanish and Arabic and some other influences. And so it's a language that's kind of has survived, but in a difficult way context, and is now in some ways being revived. And so Dado sings not only in Ladino, but also in Hebrew and Arabic and Spanish. So we're going to hear a Hanukkah number by Dado and Ladino Voice, and this is Ocho Candelicas.
Una candelica, dos candelicas, tres candelicas, cuatro candelicas, cinco candelicas, seis candelicas, siete candelicas, ocho candelas para mí. Hanukkah linda está aquí, ocho candelas para mí. Hanukkah linda está aquí, ocho candelas. Cuatro candelicas, cinco candelicas, seis candelicas, siete candelicas, ocho candelas para mí. Muchas fiestas voy a hacer, con alegrías y placer. Muchas fiestas voy a hacer, con alegrías y placer. Cuatro candelicas, cinco candelicas, seis candelicas, siete candelicas, ocho candelas para mí. ¡Oh! Candelas para mí.
Hanukkah, I know it's gonna be alright. Everyone's together tonight, feeling good, it's Hanukkah. Two candles lit, the holiday's just begun. We're in for lots of fun. The time has come, it's Hanukkah.
What's going on, man? This is unknown.
Hanukkah, come light the menorah. Let's have a party, we'll all dance the horah. Gather round the table, we'll give you a treat. Dreidels to play with and latkes to eat. Gather round the table, we'll give you a treat. Dreidels to play with and latkes to eat. And while we are playing, the candles are burning low. One for each night, they shed a sweet light to remind us of days long ago. One for each night, they shed a sweet light to remind us of days long ago. Oi, Chanukah, Chanukah, yom tov hashener. A lustiger, a freilicher, nidono hazener. Alle Nacht in Dreidel spielen mir. Zudikese, latkes, essen mir. Alle Nacht in Dreidel spielen mir. Zudikese, latkes, essen mir. Geschwinder, sind Kinder, die kleinige Licht alachon. Sagt alle Nixim, dann Gott von die Nixim und komm, ich ertanzen im Korn. Sagt alle Nixim, dann Gott von die Nixim und komm, ich ertanzen im Korn.
Happy Hanukkah! It's Theodore Bikel and Oi Hanukkah. And also before the station IDs, we heard from Latke Clan by the Levies and Ocho Candelicas by Dado and the Ladino Voice on Radio 613.
Yeah, that I like Theodore Bikel. That Oi Hanukkah song is fun. Theodore Bikel I've heard his voice most on the Fiddler on the Roof CD that my grandparents gave me many years ago. He's great, so that was nice.
Mm-hmm. Thursday night, there's going to be a lot more music. It's Semitic Soul is a music show that I DJ on, and it's going to be a night where you can have a radio filled with Christmas songs and all the other dials. But if you get to CFRC 101.9 between 10 and I think 12, I'll be playing a probably Hanukkah-themed show with a bit more Jewish music, but I'll also be incorporating other influences as I try to do other non-Jewish Arab music and Balkan and Roma music as well. So that is a special 2-hour Semitic Soul on Thursday, December 25th. So tune in for that. And last week's show, both on that music show and on this week and on Radio 613, we syndicated Shtetl on the Shortwave, which featured music from the Sephardic Music Festival, which again is going on in New York City. So if you're in New York City and listening, check out that festival. The lineup looks amazing. If not, just check out SephardicMusicFestival.com because it's a great place to learn about really excellent musicians. Just some other news that we wanted to speak about, sort of talking about some modern day revolt of sorts within the Hanukkah season. December 18th was the sort of global day of action for a campaign of solidarity for people called the Shmini Tzim, or Israel's Young Conscientious Objectors. So the Shmini Tzim, they're Israeli high school students who have been imprisoned for refusing to serve in the army, specifically in the occupied territories. That was on December 18th, and apparently 22,000 letters were of support were delivered to the Minister of Defense, the Israeli Minister of Defense. And also I heard an excerpt, which you can probably get on the democracynow.org website, of a letter of support and solidarity from U.S. Army war resistors who wrote a really impassioned and thoughtful letter of support to the Shmini Tzim. And so I think on our show we'd like to just express our solidarity with them, as well as others who are facing other refuseniks in Israel who are facing jail time or in jail right now. I know many people from Anarchists Against the Wall who are doing constant actions, participating in solidarity with Palestinian nonviolent demonstrations in Bilin on a weekly basis every Friday. And many people who Anarchists Against the Wall are working with are also in jail or facing jail time. So important.
Yeah, lots of Jews and Israelis in Israel who are active in opposing the colonial occupation of Palestine and are facing repression for that. And I think that, you know, one thing that's common in like all kinds of quote unquote progressive movements is that people, you know, obviously spend a lot of energy critiquing and criticizing the, you know, oppressive powers that be in whatever situation that is. And, you know, there's a lot of great critique. And I think that one thing that, you know, especially in maybe smaller scenes, but I think that one thing that is sometimes neglected and forgotten is to support each other and support others that are, you know, doing important work. So thanks, Avi, for, you know, reminding us of that and, you know, sending that out on the airwaves.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to learn more, you can go to december18th.org.
Yeah, and the Avi mentioned the Anarchists Against the Wall. Maybe you want to, you know, the Anarchists Against the Wall, we're going to be hosting some people in town in Kingston from that organization in the new year. We'll have the precise dates for you in January.
February 23rd, actually.
Okay.
Is the date. It's a cross-country tour, Shachaf from Anarchists Against the Wall, cross-continent tour, actually. And so they'll be coming through Kingston, and yeah, we'll pass on more details, but it's a fundraiser, and also just to learn about resistance that's going on in Palestine, Israel, and the anarchist movement in Israel. And so that'll be a great opportunity. It's also a fundraiser because, again, people are facing really serious also legal fees for arrests and actions, and some of the money will also be going to Palestinians who have been participating in the weekly demonstrations in Bilin and elsewhere. And there will also be January 17th at the AKA Autonomous Social Center here in Kingston, a DJ dance fundraiser for Anarchists Against the Wall, featuring DJ Grenadier. And that's going to be a sort of dancey mix of Arab, Jewish, Balkan, Roma dance music. So definitely hope people can come check that out and support. Dance.
Yeah, and we'll definitely remind you of that event in January.
Oh, and we'll have radio interviews as well, are being scheduled for Radio 613. So definitely tune in for that in the, not next Monday, but an upcoming Monday shows, and online with interviews from Anarchists Against the Wall.
And in the meantime, if people want to check them out online, do you remember offhand their website?
Yeah, it's aatw.org.
Great. So we're nearing the end of our show. It's been a fun almost hour with you tonight, so thanks for tuning in. It's nice to kind of go off the script, you know.
We have a
whatever.
Script,
yeah, that's
a semblance of a script.
That's a bit of an inside joke, but, you know, we just busted it out. No, I'm just joking. Anyway, We're nearing the end, as I said, and we're going to just end off with one more song, Mao Tsur, and known in English as Rock of Ages. It's a great Hanukkah song. So here it is. Have a great evening. Happy Hanukkah.
Hanukkah Sameach.